Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
From the 30, Brunell going deep for Morse again. He makes the catch and Santana Morse for a touchdown. Wow. And again, it's Glenn. He beats the same two guys.
Unbelievable. He just outran him, and Mark Brunell got it out there.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast right now. I am J.P. Finley. We have a very fun and full crew here, all in person, which is rare, and we're pretty lucky. We have 8 to the 9. Santana Moss is here with us. What's up, Tana?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me.
How about that? Santana is a recurring guest. He might not remember it, but in the very early days of Redskins Talk, I was begging Tana to come on, and he did me a solid and came on. And dude, this might be we're into our third year. That was 2016 when you came on. Mm-hmm. So appreciate you coming back.
No, thanks
you've
for
been
having
doing
me
this
again.
For 3 years. Yeah, man.
This is the second one I've heard.
No, we started in true. September of 2016. So. Now it's 2018. I don't know.
I understand.
Mr. Chick is very clearly here.
Clearly, I'm here.
And Pete is here. Chick is in charge of muting his microphone if we need to. Well, so, say hello.
Hello.
All right. So, we'll figure it out. Hopefully, we won't have to.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been good recently.
I'm next to him, so I will take that
just
punch.
Just manually mute me by punching me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that technique. Santana joined us for Redskins 100. That was a lot of fun. Let's start with the important stuff. You and I talked about this on 100. Jarvis Landry getting tagged. To you, what does that mean for the Redskins?
I mean, it shouldn't have nothing to do with the Redskins, honestly. You know, I think that it was a great decision by the Dolphins just saying that, hey, you know, we think he's a tremendous talent for them, and they probably can get something from him, so that, hey, let's tag him and see what we can get down the road. Do we deserve that? I don't know.
16 mil?
I don't know. Woo! You know, I've been a guy in this league that did a lot of things, and I would have loved to be tagged. I would have loved to got 16 mil just for 2 years. You know what I'm saying? So
I'd be your friend. I'd be your driver.
Some of these guys.
I'd take 16 mil for 16 years.
Hey, no doubt. But I mean, just seeing his play for the last 4 years, put up a lot of great numbers. He did some things that no one have done in this league. And they respect that. And I just feel like what he brings to the table is just he's a slot receiver. He's one of those slot receivers that you can't really go out there and find. He's a true slot receiver. And he doesn't have anybody outside of him to make him better at what he
right.
does. So he's called on upon to be the number one guy a lot. That's why he has so many catches. That's why he has so many attempts. And with all that said, the Redskins should never even been chopping down that
right.
line.
Because I agree with
that. They have a guy similar to him. Yeah, he might not have the same production because of the offense that he plays in, but I believe that they're the same guy.
Well, and Mr. Chick brought this up on the show about Crowder. That they have Crowder means Jarvis Landry shouldn't have been really a target for them.
No question.
I think there are targets they should in at receiver in free agency, but I don't think Jarvis Landry.
We're so desperately in need of a number one receiver that we're just throwing names out because we see guys that put up great numbers. It's not about the numbers. It's not about, you know, what everybody else is talking about. It's about a true number one that could come in here and lead this offense. When I say lead this offense, lead the guys in that meeting room, in that wide receiver meeting room, and go out there and be productive, you know, from first to third down. That's what you need. You need a guy that you can always depend on, whether he's blazing down the field, whether he's catching those intermediate routes. You need a guy that you can always say, at the end of the day, we can rely on him to pick up these yards, this first down, and make this catch. And that's what you need.
And the second word you used in that beginning of that sentence was desperately. Yeah. They are desperate right now.
Yeah.
And they have to find someone, as we talked about on Redskins 100. You need someone to come into that onto that roster that can, because Ike Hilliard's supposed to be the teacher.
Yes.
But you need somebody that can show on the field Josh Doctson.
Yes.
How to play the position of wideout in the National Football League, because he's got the physical tools, but right now the mental and the physical aren't meshing, at least in my opinion.
Santana, you keep saying that they need a guy in the meeting room to kind of step and be the leader. That's a phrase people use a lot, but what does it actually look like in the meeting room when somebody is stepping up? Like you said, Pierre was the guy. What does he do in there that shows that he's the guy people will follow?
Well, when I say that, I was in that meeting room with Pierre a lot. Pierre might not show you a lot in the meeting room because he's going to be sitting there and watching and just paying attention, but that's all you need. You need to see a guy that's taking in what he had to take in. Me, myself, and I was a guy there from 10 years, and I'm pretty sure that Pierre and D-Jack, all the guys who after me, Ryan, you know, Grant, all those guys who was in that room, I'm pretty sure they watched me just not say nothing until I needed to really ask a question or say, hey, coach, you know, what I did wrong on that? Or, coach, explain to me how you want me to run that better. Or, coach, shouldn't I meet that guy who's coming to the A-gap? Shouldn't I meet him down there in the box? Or, you know, who has the protection on that side of the ball? You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. I definitely believe that those guys have no one in there talking up or speaking up when the time is needed about how to come through on their blocks, how to come through on their routes. And you can't leave it up to the wide receiver, because everyone say, well, Ike should be doing this. Yes, he has one job, but he has a job to control everything that's going around. And there's always going to be somebody that's not asking the questions, someone that's in there that's not really paying attention, and they're going to go out there on the field. No matter how many times that they see it in the meeting room, because a lot of times those guys use their rules for sleep. When they go on the field,
B-Mitch said he did.
Yeah, when they go on the field, they're going to mess it up to the point to where, you know, they can't. It's no do-overs. You might get one. You know, you might get two.
Right.
But what coaches normally do when you can't do it right, we're going to throw that out. So you need a guy that really who can go in there and show them how to be pros, to show them how to pay attention to some of the small details and be that guy that after practice when things are over, going in and freshen up some of the things that you didn't do well during practice. And that's how you start your core to be efficient and your core to learn from some of their mistakes and be better pros.
And you're not just leading, by the way, on the field. I've told the story before about this guy right here, Santana Moss. There's leading on the field. There's leading your team. There's leading the way that you behave. You had teammates, and look, there were some guys who pulled bullshit on us in the media, just stupid stuff.
Sure.
When we're asking questions or trying to get an interview, instead of being forthright and just saying, you know what, I'm not talking today, or I will be with you in a second. And that's what Santana was. He would sit in his locker. He'd have his back to us. And we'd lean
He'd
over
answer
go,
every question.
We'd lean over and go, you talking today? And he'd go, yeah, I'll be with you in a second. Boom. And so you waited patiently. Yep. Other guys, you would wait, and then he'd just get up, pick up, and go. And they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So it's and players see that too. They see how you purport yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that makes a difference.
I didn't mind hanging out at your locker waiting either, because I swear – 3/4 of the time you had Outkast playing. It would either be Aquemini or ATLians, man. And I was like, I'll chill here. This is fun.
Go ahead.
You know what's so funny, man, about just, you know, you spoke about how players watch you.
Mm-hmm.
Biggers, he was a guy that came in from Tampa.
And
I remember playing against Biggers in Tampa. And I remember when we came back against them and he was sticking me in a slot. And he always spoke highly of me. But his younger brother plays at FIU with my nephew. And every time I saw his brother or every time I saw Biggers when I pop in town, he would share the story about how those guys viewed me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, man, Santana was so routine. He came in, he did the exact same thing every day. He played his music. He got his clothes out. He did his thing. He got in and out. And then he was the first person on the field. He had the same little routine, what he said when he walked out the door. He had the same little thing when he did when he got on the field. And he went out there and practiced his behind off. Out of all those years I've done that, I never paid attention to people watching me.
Right.
But I was so in tune to what I was doing and what I knew that worked for me, so I stuck to it.
Yep.
And for him to tell me that time and time again, like, Tanner, man, I watched you. And And as DBs, we talked about it. He said, me and Merriweather and D Hall and all those guys, we sat there and was like, you see him? He go about his business. He right. the same. He said, we giggled about it, but we knew on the field,
yeah,
we got a monster to deal with because right. he comes here ready. And so I think back and I watch myself and I hear myself a lot talking to my son, and I tell him time and time again, I was like, just, you know, perfect what you're doing. You know, you're not going to be perfect with it, but if you can do it consistently, you're almost perfect. And I felt that that's what I was doing. Uh-huh. I was trying to be consistent as I can be to almost be perfect. You're never going to be perfect. You're going to go out there and have some of those games where you can't, you know, you're going to have those games where you have to sit there and talk to a chick after the game and like, what happened?
Right.
And you got to face it and say, look, you know, face the music. You right. got to face right. the music. I learned that the hard way because I was a part of those plays. So when you learn it and you face it, the next week you'll be able to shine because now it sets you up for you have to put that pressure on you to come back and redeem yourself. And a lot of those guys don't face the music no. enough. Yep. They shy away from it. So when it's time to redeem themselves, they're still thinking about that. Play from last week.
Let me ask you this, and we talk about a veteran that's there, and I'll say this about Terrell Pryor early in the year when he was still playing. At least once a week he would talk, and he would answer the questions. If you remember early in the mm-hmm. year, it wasn't pretty. He had the drops. He would address it, and he would talk. Do you think the Redskins thought they were getting that guy in Pryor that could be the leader in that room? And now it's tough because – he didn't really have the track record. Yeah. He kind of only had the one good year in Cleveland, yeah. and you can look at the catches versus balls thrown to him. But I wonder if the Skins kind of thought he could be that guy.
They did. They did. They thought they had a quarterback and a receiver. They thought mm-hmm. they had a leader, a born leader. They right. thought they had a guy that had,
he's an alpha, man.
Yeah.
When you talk to yeah. Terrell, he's an alpha.
No, he's very smart. He's intelligent. And I just think that the only mistake I can say that he made, he took what he was doing lightly. Not saying that how he prepared. No, he did that. He saw him out to practice yeah. and all that. He took that being a receiver instead of a quarterback was a little easier. And you have to understand that what you did last year or year before, wherever you did it at, it gets harder because now people have that bullseye on you.
Right.
Now you're a target amongst targets. You're a guy that, yeah, we know that you're coming. So we're going to be prepared for you. And also you got to understand that, you know, it's different divisions. You know, one of the things that I experienced from playing in the AFC East, it was tough in the AFC East, you know, and that was and I remember hearing Mo Lewis and Marvin Jones, those linebackers always telling me, you got to be tough over here, young fella. You got to be tough. Yeah, so they say you do this, so they say you do that, but if you don't do this, you know, you can't play on this side. And then I got traded over here to the NFC East, mm-hmm. and they talk so much crap about, you know, the NFC East. You know, we don't do anything over it, but one thing we are is tough, you know, so at the end of the day, if you can go across that middle, you can go out there and make those plays against some of these guys that we face week in and week out, especially twice a year, then you can go out there and compete against anybody. And I don't think he was prepared to know he was prepared. I don't think he was prepared enough to know that it wasn't going to be no piss tail football over here. It wasn't going to be like you're going to run
across
the middle.
That's a hell of a term.
I don't know what that means.
No, I mean, definitely you can watch the way he went across the middle and did things. You know, it's almost like he was supposed to catch it. No, you got to know somebody's coming to knock your head off.
Right.
Because, one, you're a target, and, two, you're playing in one of the divisions that we play the toughest football over. All we do is beat each other up over.
Yeah.
You know, it's never one team that stands out. We always finding ourselves saying, hey, you got the up this year, you get the up next year, you know?
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So, the receiver conversation has been awesome, but there's two other things I want to talk to you about. You can pick. You want offense or defense?
Far as
we're going to do both, but what do you want next?
Defense.
All right.
I'm always to go with defense.
On Redskins 100, I thought you had some really interesting comments about the Sua Craven situation. Yes. And specifically about, I brought up that maybe he feels like the organization did him wrong, and you push back on that pretty strong, and I want to go back to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, look, as a player, all you can do is appreciate what the team does and finding that you are giving you a chance to be that guy that you think yourself or think highly of yourself as. You're signed to a contract. You're signed to go out there. You have obligations in that contract saying, I have to stand up to this. We also know through that contract, if you don't play up to the potential of that contract, they can easily dismiss you. And before you even got a chance to get your feet wet, you're trying to find ways out. Like I said before, I don't understand and don't know what he's going through.
Right,
so I
can't
speak on it and say why or what, you know, can cause him to say, I need to leave this game for a moment. You know, some of the things that I've dealt with probably wasn't that serious. So, you know, I was able to cope with it a little better and go out there and play and put that behind me. Everyone doesn't have the same mindset. Everyone doesn't have the same issues. So, yes, I truly do understand that. But I would never sit here and say that the team did him some injustice, because I feel that at the end of the day, beyond the team themselves, the organization, you did some injustice to those guys in that locker room.
Sure.
You know, you was a guy that those guys depended on, whether you was going to be first, second, or third, that at the end of the day, we better look you in the eye and say, I can count on you. Just from one of the clips I saw during the preseason, where he was talking to Compton. I'm not sure if Compton should have been talking to him about some of the things he talked to, but it shed a light on some things that we didn't know. His mind wasn't in it from the start. His mind wasn't in it from the start. And when I say his mind wasn't there, if you're there to say, I'm just trying to get to the day, I'm trying to make it through the practice, then you don't really want to be there. And normally what happens to guys like that, they get hurt and they get injured to the point to where you're not going to be there. So
you can't play unless you're going all out.
You can't. And so when I saw that, it already rubbed me wrong, and I can assure that, you know, when the staff and the guys in the front office saw it, they was rubbed wrong also, and that's why their decision was to say, hey, let's go ahead and put you on this list, because we can't cause you to be a distraction to what we're trying to do. You know, we have a goal, and we feel like from last year we have a chance to reach that goal. And if we have this kind of, you know, diffusion and confusion in our locker room with one guy, that can link through and get to the other guys and cause something bigger than what we're trying to really handle. And that's why I think it was the best thing for him to do, is go ahead and be on that list. Now that you want to be reinstated, what are you getting? Who are you getting? You know, is this the same guy that we drafted?
I don't think he'll be back. I think they make a move and he go. I think all parties need a fresh start.
No doubt.
The other thing, that tape, when I saw it, the first time I saw it.
That Mitch Tischler shot, by the way,
yes, was... Everybody was stunned at what was being said. If I was a betting man, Will Compton knew long before asked that question.
No doubt.
What the answer was.
No doubt.
And he was mic'd up that day.
And a coach said, we need to find out about this kid now. And no question that there was something.
But
there.
It did seem like that was Will just kind of going around to the defenders like, Wolfpack. But it was a weird video.
He knew the answer.
I can tell you this, just from knowing. Will went around to make sure that he talked to everybody. But he knew when I got to this guy here, he better give me something more than what I know he's going to give me.
Right.
And he gave him what he knew he was going to give him. And that's why it stuck out. It stood out and it stuck, because he's like, come on, bro. Like, you know, and I'm sure that he knew he was mic'd up. Because we tell guys, I mean, that's our code.
Right. Those guys know.
We pat that chest. Hey,
nobody.
We call it 508.
Feds are listening.
The difference in Kirk at practice when he's mic'd up or not.
Yes.
Because Kirk kind of just goes through it and is quiet to himself, very focused.
Rapping Hamilton.
But dude, he goes all the way when he's mic'd up.
Talking about Shake Shack.
Yeah.
Like, mine was like, I was mic'd up probably once or twice in practice, and I remember one year, I think it was 07 or 08, and basically, you got me. You got the raw and uncut me. I sing and whistle all day in practice. That's all I do. And you hear it sometimes through here when I'm coming here. That's my mind.
I've heard you singing.
That's
heard
what
him whistle.
Clears me, and that's what, you know, zone me out from things. I just think of songs. I will sit here and sing any Christmas jingle, and people are like, this not that season. Well, that's just popped up in my head. So it calms me because that's what I have in my head. Right
well, and
now.
We both have young kids. Yeah. I always have like Doc McStuffins and Frozen in my head.
Oh,
like,
man, no
I'm
doubt.
Letting it go all
best
day
form
long.
Of birth control oh, right heavens. There. Thanks,
that's,
JP.
Jeez, oh,
Pete. Pete, you have your own form of birth control.
It's called wearing teal all the goddamn time.
Wow, really?
Mr. Chick.
Yeah.
I think it's time. We all talked about this the night it happened. Mm-hmm. We were on
TV
hours. For like 7 hours
yeah,
or something.
That's what it felt like.
You guys may have talked about it, but I don't think I got to talk to Tana mm-hmm. about Alex versus Kirk. I don't know. Did you guys talk about it?
I don't think we did. You've yeah. had a few days to weeks to digest the uh-huh. whole Alex versus Kirk. Kirk's going to get paid now. We know that's going to be a ridiculous amount of money by probably the Jets. But you've had a few a week and a half or so to kind of take in Alex Smith as the quarterback of the Redskins. I think initially it was like, okay, we got major change here. Oh, my yeah. gosh. Now you're starting to hear players and play, you know, players pay attention to players in the league. You know, you heard Chris Thompson talk about, I watched him back. You know,
they've
all seen him from college on, and they're starting to get excited about him. What are your thoughts?
From day one, I came in here kind of like smiling because mm-hmm. I was impressed that the Skins went out their way and said, let's make something happen now mm-hmm. and get this done with, you know.
Proactive.
Yes, definitely. I mean, they understood what Kirk wanted. They couldn't reach it. They couldn't match. And I think it was the best decision for both of these parties to part their ways because for the last, two or three years, it's almost been worse than the RG3 moments here.
Is that possible?
At least similar, man.
It wasn't because it was different, but it was just tiring of hearing the same thing. Do he deserve this? Or should they give him this? Or are we signing him back?
And or does he want to be here? Yeah, I mean, all the questions.
I think Kirk did the right thing by betting on himself, going out there and being the player that he was. Yes, we put a lot on Kirk, but you can look at last season alone. It was three or four games that was left out there that Kirk scored. That offense scored at least 20 to 30 points where you should be winning the game.
Saints game, Vikes game.
So, you know, you can't blame that stuff on Kirk. Now, it was times that Kirk didn't do enough in the game to win the game. And that's not the guy you have. You know, I played with 14 different quarterbacks. One of the quarterbacks I can think of highly, you know, when it came to do he win games, is a Chad Pennington. He will orchestrate the offense to move up and down the field. But do he make the play in the pocket where he makes someone miss and he uses speed enough and then, you know, make that winning throw? No, not all the time. And you saw that time and time again from Kirk. But that's his makeup. That's what he does. So if you're looking for better, then go find someone better. In the draft, we wasn't going to find someone young to come in here and try to contribute to this team that has a chance to win now. But out there in free agency and out there on the market, we had Alex Smith that we saw him do enough on both ends when he came from San Fran and even as, you know, a Chief, that if you give him enough cast around him offensively and on the defensive side, he has a chance to do things that we was looking for Kirk to do, which he wasn't that player to do. And one of the things that I speak of highly when it comes to Alex is that he's better when things break down. When things break down, he can use his feet and find that open guy or use his feet and make something happen in the play. So I think they got what they wanted. I think they got, a better polished Kirk Cousins. And I think we win. The only loss I felt was that we lost on is just losing a young talent at DB, which I feel that yearly we get new guys that can come in and fill in and be that talent. So I like the trade, and I'm just hoping that we can keep this thing as low as possible, as cool as possible, so this guy could come in here and have a chance to be productive and not throw everything at him, and then he goes out there and he tanks everything.
You know one thing I know that you'll like? You do not have Twitter. You don't like Twitter.
I get off it.
Twitter is not your thing. You're an Instagram guy.
Yeah, I'm an Instagram guy.
Alex Smith does not have Twitter.
There you go.
And if you think about the last two quarterbacks, certainly Robert loved him some Twitter and some social media. Mm-hmm. And Kirk was not Robert on the social media mm-hmm. game. But Kirk, his Twitter and stuff, it was a lot of ads, a lot of, you know what I mean? It got to be
a lot of sweaters and stuff.
So I think it would be a little refreshing that there's no Twitter for Alex Smith.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Pete won't have to blog every time Alex Smith tweets.
He don't have to worry about seeing the crap that people have to say about him.
Yeah. That's a good point.
He can just go read JP's stories.
Twitter is like TMZ.
Unless, of course, he has one of those ghost accounts.
A burner? You think Alex Smith's the burner account guy?
I'm not sure. Wouldn't be bad.
I met him. He doesn't strike me as a burner account guy, but How the hell do you know? I don't know.
Kevin Durant doesn't strike you as one, and he had one, too.
So. It's such a weird story.
It's a weird bit.
They can have that. I don't want to hit none of that crap.
Give me a yes or no. Hell, I guess this doesn't work that way. Who's the better quarterback, Kirk or Alex?
It's hard to say, but I would give a seasoned Alex the nod. You know, I like Kirk, and I really think that he's still growing into that position. But Alex is a little more seasoned, and what Jay Gruden wants from a quarterback, he's Jay Gruden quarterback. He's the kind of quarterback that Jay Gruden wants in his offense. I think that Alex Smith, let me word it better. I think that Alex Smith fits the Jay Gruden offense better than Kirk.
There you have it. Mm. All right. Pete, there's a Pete segment, Tanner. Yeah. You ready for this?
Oh, boy.
Pete doesn't get his own segments too often.
This
so
is
here
a pretty
go.
Special time. So I think to close out the pod with the combine coming up.
Oh, he gets to decide when we close now, Mr. Chick?
Wow.
If it's okay to close now.
No, just do your segment.
Okay. With the combine coming up, I was just looking up your combine stats. Uh-oh. And 2001 combine, flicked over to 4-yard dash, and there's a familiar name at the top of the list, Santana Moss.
Santana Moss.
4.31.
He's not. Yeah. Tana's a little worried about the pizza.
No, no. Do you remember?
I'm not, because I didn't run 4.31, but that's what they gave me.
Pro Football
What'd you run?
Reference has it down as 4.31.
No doubt. Well, they rounded off. They round two runs off. So my first run was a 4.35, and my second one was a 4.26.
Hello. 4.26? Holy shit. Air horn, air horn.
Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me.
4.26?
So they rounded off, and they say, Tanner, we give you a 4.31. I said, I'll take it. I mean, at the end of the day.
What the hell happened with the first one?
Well, no.
Did you trip?
That's the first one. Out the blocks, you don't run that fast. I came out of being cold and just ran a 4.35.
It's still fast.
That's faster than normal, you know. Right. Most guys had to warm it up. Yeah. I was coming out warm.
I'd run a cold seven.
But it was funny because I remember hearing David Terrell call me, and me and David Terrell had got real close, you know, through some of the things that we did off the
Ohio State.
Who's
David Terrell?
David Terrell.
Michigan. 4.43 in that combine, by the way.
He was the first receiver taken by Chicago Bears that year, and he called me because we had hung out prior to the, to pro days. And he's like, Tanner, you trying to be the first receiver, man? What are you doing out there? I'm not coming for you. And, they told me it's crazy, man. I remember my pro day. I remember the San Francisco scout. I was a San Francisco fan growing up. He didn't know this. But they looked at our board. Our board tells it all at UM. You go down our little hall before you get to our weight room, and it shows you bench, squats, vertical, 40, shuttle. And I was leading everything, and my vertical was at that time was 37 or something like that. It was crazy. And
that board is your worst nightmare.
So the guy looked at that and was like, "Oh, I have to see this." And he was already like, he pointed me. I guess he circled me on the list and say, "We got to see all this stuff because we don't believe that they're doing the accurate stuff." So, you know, at the time, Coach Swayze, our scrim coach, he's like, "Well, hey, you know, our guys ready. You know what I mean? I know they're ready." And I was just chomping at the bits, man. Like, I'm finna go out here and put on a show because I stopped hanging. I stopped eating crap. I was just zoned in to just saying, hey, I went and saw the combine. I saw everything. They were pissed off with me not working out there. But I promised them a show. And I told them, guys, we'll be ready when you come to UM. And some of the guys told us, well, we might not come. Well, you're going to miss out, buddy. You know, and I'm not a cocky guy, but I just had to be, I had to let them know. Like, look, if you don't come see us, man, everybody's going to be down there.
Right.
It's going to be guys that don't go to UM.
That team was so loaded.
At the end of the day, you guys put the whole 40 together, all the vertical. You guys come out here and put this stuff together. All we do is compete and show off. So the first thing I did was my vertical, and I remember I rocked and I cleared it like 37. And he was like, I knew it wasn't right. You rocked. Do it again. So I looked at him. I'm like, uh-oh. Rocked? All right. I went and cleared everything, 45 feet. I never jumped 40. I jumped, the highest I ever jumped was 42 at the time.
Yeah.
I went and cleared it
45
all.
Inches.
And so they told me, it was like, well, we can't mark it because you cleared it and I cleared it with the bottom of my palm.
Oh, my gosh.
So they was like, well, we got to give him 45.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's not accurate because I cleared everything.
47.
And my tips could have touched something else. Right. But that started it all. And now he built the fire in me. And so it led over to my 40. And the guys was looking. I remember Drew Rosenhaus, we hadn't told an agent who he was picking yet, but Drew was there every week trying to
He's
get my
Mr.
dad.
He's Mr. Miami.
He was
yeah.
that guy that's like, man, me and my dad knew. Drew was the only one straight up to us. He was the only one looked my dad in the eye. He the only one told my dad all his flaws and the things he did in the past that was going to give us that assurance that we can trust this guy. And so he was always around enough, but we hadn't picked anyone. And I remember him being in the stands, and I remember my dad sitting over there with his stopwatch. And I remember Javon Curse and Adrian James on the side. And they're like, so everyone's talking. Tanner can run, man. You know, he's 60-meter champ. And my scrim coach wife, she's like a track guy. She's a track girl. She ran track in Baylor, and she helped the track team out. And when I ran my first 40, she said, hey, you stood up. But you ran a 4.35. And everyone was like, I got 4.35. I'm like, man, I was clocked before that 40 at 4.3 flat at UM
right.
on the board. So I'm like, oh, that's slow, man. Yeah. I can run
Not many guys call a 4.35 slow, so, by the way.
So she told me, she said, if you come out and you dig a little more, promise you it's going to be your fastest 40. And so what folks fail to realize, being a track guy, notice I went and ran 4.640s by myself. Just while other guys run their 40s, I had my sweats on, and I just went and ran 40s until I was so lathered and sweating. And when they called me up again, took everything off, took my shirt off, had my shorts on. And I remember when I ran my first 10, and they said 1.3, and I can hear them, and I'm just still digging. And I'm like, everybody like, whoosh. You know, you can hear the mumbles. Because people hearing 1.3 for a 10. And I'm like, when I came up, I literally pulled my hamstring and come across the line because I was flying. And I remember Coach Haslin, he was coach of the, forgot that
Saints
time. He was with the Saints then, I believe. And he said, my clock got to be broke. And the other guy was like, no, Haslin. Someone else told Haslin his clock was broken. Haslin like, nah, I got 4.26. If you got anything around there. He's like, yeah, I got 4.25, 4.26. And my dad and Drew walked out the thing, and Drew said, shut it down. Yeah. And I went to him, I said, well, I won't be running routes today. You can come back in 30 days, and I'll run routes for you guys. He's like, no, I'm not coming back. Well, like, you're going to miss out.
4.26, just shut it down.
Do you remember who got second in the combine 40s behind you?
I don't remember. I care less, man.
A guy named Michael Vick. You beat him by .2.
Wow.
And Reggie Wayne, you dusted Reggie Wayne. Well, Reggie
wasn't
4.45.
Reggie Wayne wasn't. He wasn't.
Well, that's your
that
boy,
was my guy.
Too.
That was my guy. Yeah. He wasn't listed
Danny
as a guy.
Tomlinson finished behind you, guys.
Yeah. I imagine everyone finished behind him.
Well, yes. And then also one more guy, Steve Smith, 4.41.
Oh, man, I didn't even know all those guys' time. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's
that,
an impressive list in Santana's.
Now that is how you close out a podcast.
Oh, I think Pete's segments went okay for the first time.
All right, Pete.
With a lot of help from Santana.
All right, take it easy, Pete. Wow. Don't hurt yourself patting your back.
Yeah.
Tana, we always close the podcast telling the listeners that we owe them a beer. Do you want to do that?
Yeah. Throw it at you.
So just tell them.
To all my guys out there listening to my boy JP's podcast. Heineken is on me.
Bang! Thank you, Tana.
Already, man.